against anything that would be against this service. May it be a precious, special time, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, Thursday, the 24th day of November, has been designated as Thanksgiving Day in America. Today there will be millions of turkeys that is served out for a meal. I had privilege to be in the kitchen over there, and I saw cans of cranberry sauce, or cranberries, whichever, in the refrigerator. So there's cranberries, and there'll be tons of dressing served throughout this country, America. There'll be pecan pies, probably. Pumpkin pies. Some people prefer sweet potato. But there will be a lot of feasting this day. Yes. Families who have traveled over the miles in spite of high fuel prices, in spite of distance, to be together with a family member or members. Our country, perhaps at one time, is different than it was when I was a child. Perhaps at one time there were hearts that were really turned towards Thanksgiving on this day. And I won't say that there isn't some now. But may God help us as the people of God to have Thanksgiving. One of the lepers that was miraculously healed is recorded in the 17th chapter of Luke. You that have your Bibles, and I think I'll ask Brother Michael to read from the 11th verse of the 17th chapter down through the 16th. Luke 17 and 11.
At his death he passed as he went to Jerusalem, but he passed the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan.
Read a little further.
Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. He said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Now, leprosy was something a lot more severe than a headache or flu. It was a disease that caused the skin to deteriorate, and actually portions of the body could fall off, disfigure a person. These people weren't allowed to mix and mingle with society. They were in a quarantine area. they were restricted in their freedom. They were a pitiful group of men that were together that day. If you can imagine what their conversation could have been like before Jesus intervened, perhaps one of them was crying and bemoaning the fact that they would not get to see their family again. Another one was saying, oh, for a good home-cooked meal. They perhaps just had their food flung to them or given to them in a way that your dinner won't be given to you today. And so as they bemoaned their condition and felt some of them probably hopeless that according to man there was not a cure. So you could, if you could put yourself in their sandals to feel and think what they perhaps was thinking as they all 10 were together. The 9 was Israelites, weren't they? And 1 was a Samaritan. So as they were there together, bemoaning perhaps their situation, there was some activity within their view. And they were able, one or all, recognize something was happening. And one of them, or all of them, recognized it was Jesus. And one of them, or more, had heard about him and felt like that there could be a ray of hope.
Yes, praise
the Lord. That he could make a difference.
That's right.
And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. These men were pleading mercy. I related not long ago in Shawnee about a sister's husband that had had some violations in his traffic violations. And he went before the judge. And the judge said, how do you plead? And he said, mercy. The judge asked the question again. How do you plead? Again, his answer was, mercy. And you know he got it? The judge told him to get out of his courtroom. These men were in a position where they needed mercy. They were in dire circumstances. And Jesus was drawn to those men. They got his attention. And he told them to go show themselves to the priest. The priest was the one who gave a clean bill of health to those who at one time had leprosy. So they could be set at liberty to lead normal life again. I don't know if there was some that was reluctant to go, but whether they were somewhat hesitant, they had enough faith that they started on their way. As they started on their way, with their way, a great miracle happened to all 10 of them. It was a mass healing. Mass healing. Every one of them was healed of that dreadful disease. And as they was able to look at each other, their skin that had perhaps odor and deterioration, they could look at it, and my hand is normal. This actually happened, didn't it? Do you believe it happened? And one of them whose nose and ear was partially gone, that was restored. Miracle. And perhaps the tired weariness and the depression and the despair feelings that they had as they looked and could see that each one of them was changed, how exhilarating that should have been. They should have, they probably were very excited to continue to go and show themselves to the priest. But after they got this bill of health, that they were cleared and cleansed of leprosy, there was perhaps the uppermost thoughts in 9 of their lives to get on with their life that had been on hold. One perhaps wanting to see a child that they hadn't seen for years. One perhaps wanting to try to find a job. What all their reasonings was and priorities after they were cleansed of this dreadful disease, one of them, he thought, I can't. The jobs can wait. My family can wait. Those things that I would like to do and have thought about numbers of times can all wait, but I must make my way back. I must return to the one who made this possible. I don't know how far he went or what trouble he went to find Jesus or how long it took, but he found him. He found Jesus, the one that had changed the condition in his body that was incurable in man's eyes. And when he got to Jesus, he didn't stand eye to eye with him, but he fell down. Humility. He fell down and he thanked him for what had happened. And Jesus appreciated that. You know, Jesus appreciates thanksgiving. He appreciates people recognizing and realizing the blessings they have is just not a happenstance, but it is the mercies of God. It is the blessings of the Lord. It's a blessing of the Lord today that we're not homeless. We have numbers of blessings. It's a blessing today to be up on your feet and walk. Many people are not able to do. and function. It's a blessing today to know that this is Thanksgiving Day. Some people don't know that it's Thanksgiving. You could tell them in 5 minutes they would have forgot it. It's a blessing today if you have a mental ability to know your own name. Blessings. The Lord deserves a lot of thanksgiving today. This man was indeed grateful and thankful. Well, if you wonder who the other leper is that had a miracle, that had a reaction of gratitude, can you figure out who it is? Brother, turn to 2 Kings, the 5th chapter, and begin at, where's a good starting point? Well, let's just talk a little bit about Naaman before we read. Naaman was a man of valor. He was a captain. He was well thought of. He had he had this awful, dreadful disease. Leprosy. Though he was a man of valor, he was very afflicted. But he had a little maid that had been captive, taken, snatched from her homeland. Maybe she saw her parents murdered before her eyes. We don't know, do we? But she was a captive. She was a slave. This little maid had been taught about the true God. And she had confidence in the God of Elisha. And she had confidence in the man of God.
Yes.
It is important that parents live in a way that their children have confidence in God and the people of God.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
I don't know her age, but she was little. But she knew about God. So she told her mistress about the man of God. And she had faith to believe that if he can get to this prophet, the man of God, he can be cured of his leprosy. And so the little maid that could have been having pity parties and attitudes. Amen. And thinking, well, it's good enough for you. Yeah. Here I am, your captive. She had a beautiful attitude. Can you imagine when her mistress would ask her for something, she could say, "Is there anything else that I can do for you? Can I help you do something else to make you more comfortable?" Whether she did or not, but she had a good attitude, folks. She wanted this man that had her captive in his home to be healed of his leprosy. What a beautiful attitude. And so he had confidence enough in this little maid to pursue and go to where the man of God was. And so why don't you start reading the 10th verse there, the 5th chapter, brother.
Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times. My flesh shall come against thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wrong, went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bidden thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like to the flesh of a little child, and he was clean."
Go ahead.
"And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, 'Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take the blessing of thy servant.' But he said, 'As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none.' He urged him to take it, but he refused."
So, here's this great miracle. This man had some pride that almost caused him to go back the way he come. But there was an intervention and a persuasion. And he went and did as the prophet had told him. And maybe he dipped one time and looked and there was no change at all. Not any clearer or better. And each time that he dipped, the second time, he probably was looking, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Would you look? Third time looking. Still no change. Could he have humanly thought, "It's not going to happen, but I'll go ahead and do it"? He went down the 6th time. Same thing. But when he come out that 7th time, he was cleansed. And his skin was as a little child's.
Praise the Lord.
It touched him deeply. And he went and returned. Remember the first leper, the Samaritan, he turned back to find Jesus. This Naaman returned to find the man of God. And his way of response of thanksgiving and gratitude was that he wanted to offer him gifts. But Elisha did not do it for his gifts.
No, that's right.
You know, nowadays people do things so they'll get something. But Elisha refused every gift, and they would have mounted up to something very, very great. But he refused it, and he went on his way. And he was convinced of the true God of Israel. So these two leprous men, out of how many? were grateful. Could that be the percentage of gratitude that people have? The opposite of thankfulness is unthankful. And in 2 Timothy, it tells what's going to be in the last days. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. So, we are in the last days, folks. The midnight hour is coming, folks. And one of the things that was to be prominent, prevalent in the last days was unthankfulness. It's listed with these other very serious sins. And so, may you be challenged today to be thankful. We have an example in the Word of God of an individual that was unthankful. And it's the prodigal son's brother. Remember the story? How this man had two sons, and the younger demanded his inheritance, and he went off and just recklessly didn't go out and invest it. He just went out and wasted it in riotous living. And he became a want. Maybe at the passing of the days, the need escalated. He needed a job, and he took a job feeding pigs. Kind of a distasteful. Is there anything that can be compared with that? Well, even telemarketers aren't on that level, are they? You may not appreciate them, but they aren't classified with someone that feeds pigs. But anyway, it was a low-profile job, would you say? And he was hungry. And have you ever been hungry and started to think about a particular food? And he probably liked the food, the bread that he used to be able to eat at Father's house. And his mind went to the bread, went to food. I've been hungry and I'd think about food. He thought of that. And he come to himself. And he decided, I will go back. And I won't even try to be on the level with my older brother. He stayed home. So I'll go back and I'll tell my father, I'll just be one of your servants. You don't have to treat me as a child. I'm not going to expect special favors as a child. I left when it was good. I'm coming back in need. And as he traveled towards home, he got in view where Father could see, Father's heart went to meet him. And not only his heart, his body went to him. And they had such a reunion. And the father didn't say, oh, you smell like the pig pen, and you sure need a shave, and your hair's so, oh, how long's it been since you had a haircut? He didn't say all of those things. His heart was so happy that he wanted to show in some way his thanksgiving that his son was back home again. He was lost, but he's found. He's back home. So he decided to have the fatted calf killed. He put a robe on him, had a robe put on him. And they were in the midst of this homecoming reunion when the elder son, who had been working, maybe sweating and tired, seeing what was going on, he questioned and wondered what's happening. And they tell him, and it probably was just an emotional torpedo that hit him with the... And he was very upset. Very upset. Did not want anything to do with it. He missed out on a big, good steak supper, didn't he? Because he was unthankful. That played in it. Would he have been thankful that his brother was home and went in and said, I've been missing you, wanting you back, and you've made it home. And join in. But he did not do that. He stayed on the outside, and his father come out to entreat him. And you know, he didn't have a good attitude towards his father, or he would have went in for his father's sake. He didn't love his father like he should have. And listen to the way he talked to him. Well, I'll start reading the 27th. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Listen the way he talked to his father. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I, listen to these eyes, at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never givest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But he's not through yet. But as soon as this thy son has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, throwing it up in his face, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Here's his father's reply. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All that the father had, he could have access to at any time had he chosen to do that. This older son had gross unthankfulness to react in the way he reacted towards his own father. And he did not appreciate his father like he should have, or he would not have reacted and said and spoke in this way to his own father. May I urge young people, appreciate it if you have a Christian home. I heard Mr. Schaefer and her brother, and do you have the words, I thank God for my Christian home? Huh? Do you have it up here? Does anyone know that song? I thank God for my Christian home. Brother Ivan? Let's have the part. Can you think how it starts? It's got some good words in it, don't it? Can't get it. Well, there is a song, I thank God for my Christian home. I'm going to do something different today. Is Heidi in here? I'm going to ask you to stand up and say what you thank God for your Christian home, about your Christian home. Let me state it like this. Tell us about a Christian home and what you appreciate about it. Would you have talked this way to your dad? That ought to make Mom and Dad feel good. Be thankful for your Christian home.
Yes, that's right.
That God has favored you highly to have Christian parents. I'm not finished. Sister Sarah, would you rise and tell us about your Christian home? Good Lord.
their children did not have the opportunity that I've had, or that my children have had, to know the Lord. It's such a blessing to have the opportunity given to you to know the truth and to know the Lord.
Thank the Lord. Has that song come to you?
I start kind of dead first.
When sad and discouraged from failure, and the whole world is against me, and everything's wrong. I'm drawing a blank suit today. There's definitely more to it.
It's been a long time since we've
seen that. Maybe you better get it out of the mothballs. Well, I have one here that is a good one. Thank you, Lord. As the world looks upon me and I struggle along, they say I have nothing, but they are so wrong. In my heart I'm rejoicing, how I wish they could see. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I know I'm not worthy, and these clothes are not new. I don't have much money, but Lord, I have you. And to me, that's what matters, though the world may not see. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I don't have much silver, and I haven't any gold. But since Jesus saved me, I have riches untold. And someday in heaven, his sweet face I'll see. On my knees, Lord, I'll thank you for your blessings to me. Our Father, today we've had a sample here of those who are grateful. May our gratitude increase. Help us to be able to count our blessings. We ask, kind Father, that each one of us today will spend some time thanking you for something that you've done for us. And it won't be just from our lips, but may it come from the deepest depths of our hearts that we are truly thankful.
Yes, Lord.
As the blind poet said, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Lord, regardless to our circumstances in life, you still deserve praise and thanksgiving. May we be faithful to do it. And may you bless this time that we've been together with these dear ones, that this day will indeed be a day of thanksgiving. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Nelson, could you lead this?
Let us stand.